That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I really cried, I think, for 12 days straight. Like, I was miserable. I remember I was teaching a class and, like, broke down out there outside to one of my clients, like, was calling my brother, my parents. Like, I was absolutely miserable to put this much effort and energy, like, and energy into healing myself. And I remember being at a bar job that I was working at and being like, I don't care about anything. I don't care about anything. All I care about is my hair growing back. And I would go to audition and be like, I don't care. I just want my hair to grow back. I just want my hair to grow back.
Welcome back to Real Pod with Victoria Garrick. I am your host, and today's guest is the incredibly inspiring Christy Valdeseri. Christy is a professional dancer who graduated from Penn State University and headed straight to her dream performing job. But one day, Christy noticed a small patch of hair was missing from the back of her head. Over the following weeks, Christy became fully bald and was diagnosed with alopecia. At first, she was devastated and hid her disease underneath a wig, but today, Christy will take us through her entire journey of how she went from blonde to bald to bold, embracing her new appearance, becoming a Sports Illustrated model, an advocate for alopecia, and inspiring so many women everywhere to embrace and accept their insecurities and differences. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this episode today. I just fell in love with Christy, and I hope you do too.
Well, Christy, I'm so appreciative that you're here. I think your story is so inspiring. I think it's like a one in a million. I'm sure you can understand the impact you've had on people, but I mean, it's pretty awesome, and I'm so happy you're here for all these people to listen to.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Of course. So I just want to start with, let's rewind. So when did you realize dancing is my passion? I want to be a dancer.
Oh my God, that's a great question. So I've been dancing my whole life, so like 20 years now. And when I was in high school, I was like really good at soccer and made the cheerleading team, like the JV cheerleading team instead of the freshman team. And I was like, oh my God, I really want to do it. This is a huge thing that I made the team as a freshman. But my heart was like, I want to dance. And dance took up like my whole life. I was in a ballet company and like you had no time for anything else. So going into high school, you either had to commit to dance or not do it as seriously as I was doing it. And my dad was my soccer coach, and he always tells this story that when I had soccer practices, he would be like, Christy, come on, we have to leave, we're gonna be late. But when he was driving me to dance rehearsal, I'd be like, come on, Dad, let's go, I gotta be there.
And it just You clearly shows. Cared more about going to dance.
Yeah,
than going to practice.
Just loved dance, and I knew that I wanted to dance in college. So I went to Penn State and I was a dance major there.
What was it about dance that you felt so pulled to this? It's a sport. I call it a sport, right? You're competing.
Definitely very athletic. But
like, how did you feel when you're dancing?
Yeah, I felt like nothing mattered. Like I was just so in the moment. And as I get more into my professional career, it's like I can emote and tell a story and like express myself through it. But every time when I'm dancing, it's like, I'm so in the moment. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just in it. I'm living. I'm radiating. I'm performing. I'm giving the audience some feeling, some emotion. Like, I feel so free and like myself when I'm dancing. And I've always felt that way.
And you didn't feel that way playing soccer.
Yeah, no.
Not and it's really important for people, especially at a young age, to know what they gravitate towards and not maybe what their parents want them to do
right.
or what is going to get them to school. But it's awesome that you were able to get to the next level. Yeah. How does that work? You got recruited to be on the dance team there, or you got into school and then you tried out for the dance team?
I was a dance major. So I was just on, I taught dance through college and I was on in the major.
And you have to try out to get into that major, right?
So wow. I went in undecided because I knew I wanted to dance, but I didn't know, you know, like the pressures of like, there's no career in dance. So that was kind of like in the back of my head. But I just kept being drawn to performing and dancing. And I was like, I remember my one semester, I took like a ballet class and a jazz class and science and astrology and all this BS.
the ones that they had mandatory still in college. I don't know why.
And I was like, the only one that I really obviously love is the dance. Why don't I just make this my major? And yeah, so I auditioned for it and then I was accepted into it. And then I have a degree in Bachelor of Arts in Theater.
So what were you working towards with dance? Like, what was your dream? Because I think a lot of times if you're a singer, it's like, okay, you want to maybe sell at Madison Square Garden. You want to be an artist. When you're a dancer, I don't think we hear too much of like, this person is a famous dancer, whether you're back dancing backup for someone or you're... Right. So what was the dream?
Honestly, at the time in college, I didn't know enough. I'm from Philly, Pennsylvania, and I didn't know enough about the dance industry in the commercial world out in LA. And really, at the time, I wanted to dance on a cruise ship.
Okay.
That was my goal. I was like, I remember I left, I missed all my classes one day, drove all the way to New York and auditioned for a Disney cruise line or some cruise line. And I got cut right away. Like, I was literally in it for 6 minutes. I drove all this way, missed all these classes, stayed at my friend's house. And within 6 minutes, I was cut.
Those dance castings are brutal.
I've
talked to some dancers. They line up all of you. Then they put you in like sections by what you look like.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, you three go to the back.
Oh my God. There's typecast. There's like, it's 1,000 things. And there's a 350, 400 just girls at these auditions. So it's crazy. But I knew that So I went there that day to audition, so I knew I wanted to dance on a cruise ship.
Why a cruise ship? Because of the experience of that as well?
Yeah, so my whole life, growing up, I went on cruises with my family. My grandparents, for their 50th anniversary, whatever, we went on a couple different cruise lines with my family as a whole. And I remember the experience, and then we would go to the shows on there, and the experience of, like, seeing these performers, I'm like, they get to live on a cruise ship as a little girl. I'm like, they get to live
here. It's like Sweet Life on Deck.
Yeah, like, they're living on the water and performing, and, like, they all seem so happy, and, like, they were living the life that I wanted at the time. So in college, I was like, this is what I want to do right when I graduate.
And as a dancer, there is a big emphasis on image, how you look. You just mentioned typecasting. So at that time, in college as a dancer, what was the definition of beautiful for you?
Damn, no one's ever asked me that. The definition of beautiful...
At that time.
Yeah, at that time, I feel like I identified as this, like, blonde, voluptuous, tall, beautiful cheerleader, like, hot girl sorority type. And I felt like... In college, I had to fit into that box. That's all I knew, and that's how I identified beautiful. Long, blonde hair, outgoing personality, thin, like, confident in the sense of, like, knowing your shit in a sorority. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I felt. Like, that's what I knew as beautiful at the time.
That's where you put your weight on.
Like, yeah, I felt like I had to live up to this, like, hot, blonde sorority girl. That, and I'm, like, so not that anymore. Even if I appear that way, like... So much has happened in my life that beauty is so different now that from what I've gone through.
So what year was it that you... So then you end up getting on this cruise ship that seems pretty awesome, right? They were having on some high-caliber guests. What year was that? Was that before 2016?
So I had just graduated college in 2016, and then I booked the cruise gig that I was dreaming about in 2017, like March 2017. I booked. So I moved to New York, and I was in a dance program auditioning, and then I booked it in like March.
And was this when you started realizing things were changing in your appearance?
Yeah, 100%. This was probably, the month. Like, it was 3 weeks, honestly, after I graduated college, I started to notice my hair falling out.
What was the very first time you noticed something like that?
Yeah, it was June 1st, 2016. So I graduated, like...
You know the exact day. Wow.
I know the exact day.
It's a big day.
I remember the moment. Like, I remember exactly where I was. I was at my best friend from home. We were going to Florida the next day to celebrate our graduation. And I was there, and my mom had dropped me off because we were leaving in the morning. And I remember I was in her kitchen, and I was like, how weird, like, the center back of my part. I was like, how weird, I have a little bald patch. I mean, I was like, is it from the sun? Is it just like a
did I have a tight ponytail?
Right. Did I pull my hair up too tight? I'm like, oh, I really was like, oh, this is weird. Like, it'll go away. It's weird. And then as the summer progressed, my hair loss got really bad. And it was from here. I got a whole circle here. And it got worse.
At the beginning, what were you thinking? Like, this isn't something. Were you thinking, oh, yeah, I got a tight ponytail? And then when you started losing more, were you kind of in, like, a denial? Or did you go to the doctor right away?
No, I was definitely in denial. I mean, I was, like, trying to get on with my. So I was in a relationship, not the best situation, and I ended that.
We've all been there,
girl. Like, screw that. So I was,
you're like, am I stressed from him?
Right,
is that why my hair's falling out?
Yeah, 100%, that's why. But so I was, like, ended that. I was pushing on in my dance career, and I was, like, don't have time to worry about this. Like, I just moved to a new city. I just graduated college. I just am recently single. I'm like, initially I was like, no, this isn't happening.
Everyone knows that feeling when you have this to worry about this, and then something else happens, you're like, nope.
Yeah,
not even
like,
gonna,
not today.
Nope.
Like, I can't deal with that right now. And that's how I felt. So I was in denial, and then it progressively got worse and worse.
Did you tell your parents?
Yeah, I told my parents. I have a picture that I remember. I was sitting in my car in a parking lot and sent it to my mom. Like, how weird is this? But I promise, or I swear, I really was like, there's no way this is going to be anything. I felt like there's no chance that this is going to happen to me.
Also,
invincible. That's how I felt.
And as girls and women in general, we care so much about our hair. It's the weirdest thing. If you go to get your hair cut and you tell them an inch and they cut two,
oh,
like,
my God.
You're in tears.
Life's over. Now I'm so different for me. But that's really how women can relate to their hair. They get their hair cut and it's like the biggest thing, or they dye their hair. And I've seen people be like, oh, my mom will kill me if I dye my hair. And now I'm just like, it's literally just hair. But the culture, we put so much emphasis on it.
And as a dancer, you talked about, like, it's like the hair flips. It's the aesthetic.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, how are you working what you have that on the outside to excel you in your career?
Right.
So now you're on the cruise ship. And at what stage are you in the alopecia?
Yeah. So it was falling. But I remember I would be in my cabin with my roommate and I would make her, like, take videos of me, and I'd be crying, and I'd be, like, trying to cover it up for my hair for the shows. So it was falling out, and I had some patches, but it was by no means what I look like, what it is now.
Did the dance director or the people managing you on the cruise ship know?
My cast knew. I was so insecure and nervous and scared. But then once I was on the ship, I went to them and said, this is my situation. Is there any chance we could order me a wig? Because I could cover it up, but it was getting
worse.
And
did you know it was alopecia at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew it was alopecia areata, meaning it's just little circles of your hair falling out. So I still had my eyelashes, my eyebrows, like my body hair.
And you were able to do that doctor's appointment before you left on the cruise ship?
Yeah, I went to a million different things. I got a ton of steroid injections in my scalp, and nothing helped.
So the day the doctor kind of gave you that diagnosis, I mean, what was your reaction? Because you were just telling me, like, you're like, no, 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 not me.
I was like, okay, and what's alopecia? I remember her being like, at the dermatologist in New York City, she was like, and I like, it was a good one because I had to figure it out. I was under a lot of stress. She was like, I don't know what to tell you. I've never seen this much hair fall out. And I was like, and she was like, I think it might be, and like naming alopecia, different alopecias. And I was just like, girl, I don't care what it is. What can I do to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I felt. I don't care. Like, put me under this name of being alopecia. It's still happening to me. So what can I do to fix this? That's how I felt. Like, whatever the name is that it is, it's what now, what can I do to fix this? And I got injections all over my head. And it grew back a little, fell out more. And then when I was let go from the cruise, and it was gone in 3 weeks.
You were let go from the cruise?
Yeah, so they
what happened there?
They fired me on the spot. So I was really, Victoria, like, I was really, like, on a high. Like, it was, like, the best
your dream,
like,
job,
yeah,
that
it was
you've
the best,
dreamed
like,
of
month
since
of my six weeks of my life at the time, and my roommate
six
was just
weeks,
saying to
a cruise ship,
yeah.
Isn't that job entitled
oh,
like a whole summer
months. It was 8 months. I was supposed to be on it from the end from May, I think, yeah, May to December, and like the second or third week in June after a show they pulled me aside and said that you're fired, they're flying you home tomorrow. The guy in my cast told me that.
What was the reason?
I stood out. That was the reason. I stood out. So,
do you think that had to do with the
hair loss? Yeah. My heart thinks that it had to do with my hair falling out. So the next day, like, no one that worked for the cruise line had told me. This was just my cast member being like, yo, this is what's happening.
Like, he heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah. And I was, like, absolutely beside myself. Didn't sleep the whole night. The next day, I have a meeting with whoever, and they're like, yeah, we're flying you out tonight. And I was like, this is June. I was supposed to be on this until December. And I fought them, felt like I was fighting for my life. And now, pushing forward 2.5 years, like, that was so minute in how life is. Like, I wasn't fighting for my life. But it felt like that. It felt that severe to me because this was my dream job right out of college. I was like, cool with everybody on board. I was doing my job so well. And I was getting fired for no reason. And the man with way too much power wouldn't call me. He wouldn't answer my calls. He wouldn't email me back. I have not heard from him to this day. And I read through emails.
He had someone else to have the conversation and do the dirty work with you.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I never, ever spoke to him. Apparently, I called him on the ship and he answered because my cast was with me and they recognized his voice. And he was like, I said, this is Christy. I would like to speak with you, with the man. And he lied to me and was like, oh, this is his assistant. He's not available. And it was his voice. And he never called. So that was the kind of monster beast that I was dealing with. One man with way too much power. And so I fought that whole day.
The worst is that they don't give you a concrete reason because you were killing it. And you know what? Yeah. It's probably because they knew that their reasoning was terrible.
Right.
Oh, cruel.
That's exactly it. That's what justifies that I feel like I know that it was my hair loss because he would never address me and like give me a tangible reason of why this was happening. And like the people below him who were giving me the news were like, we are so shocked that this is happening.
At this point, now that you're losing this gig, are you starting to fear my dance is so associated with my image and I can't control this happening to me?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I felt like I wanted to give up. Like, I can't, this is way too heavy for me to like continue on. Like, if this is going to happen right now, how many more times is this going to happen in my career?
Right. And I, or if I lose more hair,
if right, and if and now, and that's what I said. When I was fighting with them, I'm like, "You're firing me, and now my condition is going to get so much worse because of
the stress."
The stress. And I remember I was like, "On this ship, I'm going to focus on myself. I'm going to get my health back. I'm going to take time to like be with myself and like work on letting go of stress and just focus on like healing what I had been through with the breakup and moving and losing my hair." And then they fired me, and I was like, this condition is about to go through the roof. And in 3 weeks, my hair was gone. Yeah. From the stress.
Where did you go from that cruise ship?
Right. So I was fired and I was supposed to be on this ship until December. So I had moved out of my apartment in New York. And I went back gratefully.
You have
no
other job.
Right. I have no job, no hair, and no apartment. So thank God I had my parents' house to go back. So I went back to them for a couple weeks. And I just remember so vividly waking up the next morning and I was like, what the hell am I gonna do? I cannot like live under my parents. Like, I need to get on with my career. I need to push on. Like, I just feel like I'm such a fighter that this was such a
Yeah, you go from graduating at Penn State, being probably known as gorgeous in your class, having your dream job, to everything I've associated my image with is slowly disappearing.
Yeah.
I just got fired. I have no money and I have no plan. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's exactly how I felt.
You're probably crying all the
time. Oh my God. It was absolutely miserable. And that's why my hair was gone in 3 weeks. I mean, I had hair. I had patches. But like 3 weeks, my hair was gone. And just the way that company treated me, like no one, I don't care who you are, no one deserves to be treated that way. And I have not even heard from them since. Since that, I have not heard from them at all. Well, they sent me a cease and desist order because I posted on Facebook. And that's the only time they contacted me to remove my Facebook post.
They're going to be sorry in a few years. Just
oh,
wait.
Hell yeah.
But so you move to LA. You are figuring it out. Did you try to get a new manager, a new casting team? Yeah. And when you did you do headshots? Right. And did they say, like, what was your were you still hiding under a wig? And
so, yeah, when I was back home after the cruise, I was like, I really didn't know what to do. Do I go back to New York and try to work at the bar again and, like, find a new apartment to live at? Like, I just didn't know what to do. So something in me was like, you got to go to L.A. And I'd been to L.A. once, like, on my spring break senior year. I flew out here to, like, see if I wanted to live here, took dance class and whatnot. And I'd been here once. I'm from Pennsylvania. And I was like, yeah, Christy, something in me was like, you got to go to L.A. So I literally glued a wig on around the perimeter. Like,
glued.
Glued. because I didn't want anyone to know. I'm like, I'm this blonde girl. I have to live up to being this blonde girl. I glued a wig on and flew to LA on a one-way flight. Didn't have an apartment set up, didn't have a job set up, but something in me was like, you're going to figure this out. This is not going to stop you. So when I came out here, over time, I got a job, I got an apartment, like a job at a bar just so I could live here. And then I got signed with an agency. So things were looking up, but no one knew about my hair loss. No one knew I was wearing a wig. And if someone found out, I was like, please don't tell anyone. This is so personal to me. I don't want anyone to know. And then I was like, you know what? I should go talk to my agent about it. Like, I would like to have some
they're insight. An expert. They could maybe give me some advice, help me with this.
Right.
Maybe they've seen it before.
Right.
With a dancer.
So I went in and I was like, my heart was like beating so fast because I hadn't told anybody. And I was so afraid on how, what they were going to say to me. So I was like, I'm not ready to share it by any means, but this is my situation. I wear wigs. What do you, and I like threw out there, what do you think about me like possibly getting headshots without my wig? And I remember her being like, well, I don't think that's necessary. Like, you don't need to do that yet. And I remember being like, okay, well, I'm not ready to. I was just throwing it out there. And I remember feeling like she was comparing me to someone else who had a similar situation. And I left there being like, I am so unfulfilled. That is not how that should have went.
Right. It's like you're maybe hoping that they can give you something like, you know what, that would be really powerful. Maybe
right.
maybe they need a bald dancer
right.
to fit this role, different people, different image. And she's like, no. Suppressing
right.
me even more.
And now, I mean, a couple of months later, I've since then, I've had different experiences that my bald look has been celebrated. Like, it's not a flaw. It's celebrated. And that agent and that moment, I felt like it was a flaw and I had to continue to hide and not be who I am now. And so I switched agencies because of another experience that I had that this agent was like kind of pushing for the bald look. And I was lost. Like, I remember I was at an audition one time and I was like, should I take my wig off? Like, this looks like it's more edgy call. Should I take my wig off? To my friend. And she was like, girl, I don't know. I've never done that. I don't have any knowledge on that.
And no one understands.
I'm like, I don't have any knowledge on it either.
And no one can really understand. I mean,
right.
Hair, like, it's so material and it sounds so stupid. But for girls, it is such an important thing that, you know, that no one can understand how you feel.
Right.
So when did you start to feel like I don't want to hide under this wig anymore? When did you start getting that curiosity? I know you attended an intensive
mm-hmm.
called Zero Fucks.
Yes.
I don't usually swear, but I love it for this. Zero Fucks.
Right.
How did you hear about that? And what inside of you was like, it's time to kind of handle this
yeah.
and stop bearing and gluing and suppressing
yeah.
what's really happening.
So I met this girl through, she also had lost her hair, this girl I know. And when I first came out here, we both were completely bald. And I brought her to where I would, the company that I was getting my wigs. We clicked like no other. This girl is my literal best friend now.
Mm-hmm.
She is my ride or die, my best friend. I could tear up thinking about it. Like, she
oh,
is.
I love
she,
that kind of friendship.
She just gets me because we've been through it together. And her hair is all the way back now. Her hair is completely back. So she shared her story. So her story is a little bit different, of course, but she had absolutely no hair and she's a dancer as well. And she opened up in September, like the year prior to me, about her hair loss. And I remember being like, oh my God, that's amazing, but there's no way I'm ever going to do that. And then I like watched her, like, her hair started to grow back. She started to accept it more. Like, people weren't really reacting the way that I thought people would react. And then I started telling people. I didn't ever take my wig off, but I started telling people. People would be like, are you wearing extensions? Or like, what's your natural color hair? And I'd be like, oh, I'm wearing a wig. Like, please don't tell anybody, but I have alopecia. I don't have any hair. I wear wigs. And I remember everyone's reaction was, oh my God, like, you are so strong. Like, that is so badass. And it was like positive reinforcement, encouragement, like recognizing my strength and my personality over my image. So I, Claude, who runs the Zero Fucks Intensive, I had been taking her class and I just did an interview with her the other day and she was talking about how I would always wear a hat. And I would always wear a hat like this. Like, when I would dance, it would be like this. So no one would see me and I would just, because I didn't want my wig to fly off. I just didn't want to go there. I felt
right.
more, like you're saying,
I think, and you'd always have this fear. If you don't tell people, it's like, is my wig, what if my wig comes off?
Yeah.
What if someone
can
notices?
Tell. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you wear a hat, it's just, less that they can look at and examine.
Right. And I just felt way more comfortable.
So every single day you wore a hat to your dance class?
Almost every, which, in life too. I mean, I always, almost always wore a hat, a bandana, a headband.
And it's
always
such a, that must have been so hard for you as well, because dancing, as you told me in the beginning, when you were little, it's like this free spirit, this connection, this, mm-hmm. I'm totally going to be myself and authentic on the stage right now for you all to connect with me. And you're having to limit some of who you are in 100%. Your performances.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Because I wasn't like fully grown into who I am, because I was so confused on, like, well, is this who I am? Is this the type? Is this
what everyone's loved and known me
right.
for.
And that's what I love and know myself. Like, I love that bubbly blonde girl. Like, I loved that look and I loved how I identified as that. So the intensive, I did it,
like,
because
it wasn't your choice to choose a new Christy.
Right.
It just happened to you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I sometimes get caught up in my head about, because I didn't choose this. I don't, if I were to pick, I wouldn't be bald. But I mean, I'm getting more accepting of it now. But at the intensive, I knew that I had it, whether it was dance or something in my heart, I knew I had to take it the next level. And I went to the intensive, not even being like, I'm going to take my wig off for the first time. I just went because I really admire Claude and I knew that I was going to be in a safe place and I needed to level up in some way. And at the intensive, for the first time, I did this, took my fucking wig off. Oop, no cursing.
Oh, you look so beautiful.
Thank you. So that's what I did.
Did you smile this big when you did it?
Yeah, and I threw it to the side and then I danced my solo. At her intensive. But it's just so funny, like, how the reaction in the room was like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Like, it was just so uplifting. And now, like, I came with my wig, but I'm really okay now going out without my wig way, way more than before.
What did you feel like in that performance? Because it now had been so many months of you not really being your true self. And then in that moment, you have a whole room cheering you on. You mm-hmm. took off this mask, for lack of a better term, right? This wig, and now you are gonna do the thing you love the most.
Aww.
I want to see a video. Is it like the best routine of your life?
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Emotionally, probably.
Yeah, it's so funny. I haven't really thought back to that moment, but it was like, it was celebrated. That's how I explain it. I've had like,
it was exhaling everything.
It really, really. That's a really great way to put it. I had been so boxed up, and like, I felt like it was a flaw, and I like couldn't be Christy. I had to like keep living in this way, but like, that is not who Christy is anymore. And like, she gave me the moment to that has propelled my career, my life forward, because I was so celebrated and supported in that room. And that's what it's all about, people being around each other, because shit happens. That's what I feel like I've been understanding recently, that shit happens in life, and it's how you can handle it and how people can support you through it. And for so long, I remember I would shower and with my wig on, and I would be like, it's so funny. People, I'm like, categorized as a blonde, or like, oh my God, you and my roommate, my best friend, is a brunette. Like, oh, a brunette and a blonde. And I would just be like, I'm not. Like, I'm not a blonde.
Right.
I like, and like, the more conversations I have like this, I'm holding on to that girl I used to know as a blonde. And now I feel like I need to let that go and be like, that's not who I am right now. Maybe I have that same personality and the bubbly, outgoing personality that I identify with, but I'm not classified as a blonde.
Yeah.
Because I'm not blonde.
You'd rather be rejected for being yourself than accepted for being someone that you're not.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. And if they don't accept you, like, you are the person that does.
Exactly.
So now, what was your definition of beautiful?
Yeah, well, my definition of beautiful is it's about what's in your heart. It's so much more about who you are and what you are bringing to the world and how much you're being yourself. That's beautiful. When someone's being exactly who they are and like letting that glow and radiate out of them. And I mean, it's absolutely not about what you look like, because we identify in this society, culture, hair with beauty. And beauty is not about what you look like. It's so much more about what your heart's mm-hmm. about and who you are and how you are, how you're leading your life and how you're treating other people. That's what beauty's about. Like, there could be 1,000 beautiful, beautiful blondes in the room, but if there's one that's like glowing from their heart and being true to themselves mm-hmm. and like spreading love, that's beautiful. Yeah. And that message needs to be heard, especially in the day of social media and auto-correcting whatever people do.
Right.
Well, I mean, I was like, if I would auto-correct, or I don't even know the word, but if you would Photoshop. Like, I would put damn hair on my head every time. But like, I don't do that. And I just want to encourage people, little girls, that you do not need hair to be pretty, and to be pretty.
The most inspiring thing about, everything is so inspiring, but I think what is most inspiring is you were like, I'm going to disrupt that culture. Like, I don't want to see it in the magazines anymore. I want to see people that look like me. I want to see someone that would have maybe made me feel more comfortable about this months ago.
Right.
And you audition and you put up your video for Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Search. I mean, how did you hear about that? And that took so – that's how I found you, that video.
Oh.
And I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, this girl is so beautiful, you know? And then you take off the wig and I'm like, wait, and she's dope too. Oh, like, you know?
Thanks. Yeah. So I've been following Sports Illustrated for forever and – I saw that they were doing an open casting again, and I was like, I had already shared my story, and people knew about me wearing a wig, and I was like, Chrissy, this is your time, like, you gotta go for it. And I made the video, and I remember when I was making it, I'm like, how do I, like, let myself, like, I'm talking about let myself come out the most, and I was like, I need to show who I feel like I am. That's why I was wearing the wig, smiling, like being who I thought.
And it is awkward. I mean, obviously, you're stunning. I think you're amazing. You deserve all those things. But to make the video in general is just like really putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself out there, but you're also saying, hey, I think I can be in this magazine.
Right,
you know?
So you
have followers. So like, oh, she thinks she's hot.
That is so true. It's like, girl. Like,
it takes so much. I think that takes so much courage. Like, if anyone's ever made that video, like, that is the self-love, right?
That,
you're like, I am worthy of
that is
being
so
beautiful.
True. And more women need to have moments to celebrate themselves.
Yes. Yeah. We don't think it's okay to like ourselves. It's like we are all trying to look a certain way, but then the minute I say why I'm pretty, they're like, oh, she's so conceited. Why do you think that about yourself?
I know. It's like this happy medium that it's the confidence in yourself. Maybe not like the cocky, arrogant, but it's the confidence. That's what needs to read. And I made that video because I was like, I'm a dancer. I'm a model. Like, I now feel like I can represent
I'm
what
different
you
and I love that difference now.
Yes. So I made the video and then I got asked to come down to Miami and I like made it to
when
the
you got
round.
That call or that email, whatever it was, did they email you?
They
DM
sent me
you?
Like they emailed me and sent me like a little like certificate.
How did you feel in that moment? Because I know we're not looking where you probably weren't seeking outside validation, but to you it could have been like, hey, I have an opportunity from being myself.
Yeah, that's how it felt. And I remember I was like, this was right around the time that I auditioned for something that I really wanted and I didn't get it. And I remember being like, I'm not going to get too excited and like get my hopes up because being a dancer and in this career, if you get your hopes up, expectations up, it just hurts more when you don't get it. So I remember being like, this is dope. This is awesome. I'm going to keep it on the low. I'm going to just like keep like my mind straight, my focus straight and like make this happen. So I kind of kept it to myself, but it was exciting.
So what was that process like? You get there. I mean, enlighten me. They have all these gorgeous girls there who've all submitted their videos.
So yeah,
do you get a number? And they're just like, number seven,
yeah,
Chrissy.
Not seven, like way more, but
700.
Yeah. So I made it to the second round and we met with like the editor and a couple of the models there. And I remember my friend had done it the year before and she was like, it is the best weekend. Like you're around amazing girls. And I'm like, okay, like I'm around amazing girls all the time at these auditions. Dance auditions.
And you're like, they're not that amazing.
I know. I'm like,
they
okay,
all want me to mess
is
up.
Is it really life-changing to do this? And then I was there and I was like, wow, everyone is like talking about like deep things and like great conversations and like progressive conversations and like inclusivity. And I remember like the feeling being like, wow, I feel really at home. And so I spoke with the editor and in front of the editor, like the main woman, took my wig off and kind of explained my story. And then I had like a quick 2-minute interview and I'm like whipping my wig around, like totally being myself and like showing who I am. And then I was visiting my friend, actually. I was staying with my friend in Miami and we were at a happy hour and I get a FaceTime from a number I don't know. I'm like, oh my God, this is Sports Illustrated. So I like go over, like we're in Miami, so I'm like by the water at this like bougie ass place. And I'm like, hello. And she's like, Chris, and it's the girl I interviewed with. And she's like, so, Chrissy, what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, hopefully hanging out with
nothing.
You.
I can cancel it.
Oh, my God, I'm so free. I've never been more free.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, you made it to top 60. Oh, my God, I was so happy. And so I was like, obviously got my stuff together that night, went the next day, like put it on. And that whole day we had a photo shoot, a bunch of interviews, question and answer with some of the models.
Yeah.
And then they announced the top 60. Or no, that was the top 60.
Yeah.
And then from that, they announced the top 17. So it was a long day. Like, we were there all day. And then they read off the names of the top 17. And I think
that's a huge jump, 60 to 17.
And it first started with, like, I think it was like maybe 350 applicants or more. Like, there was a couple hundred applicants in general. It was an open call. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it went down to the top 17, and they called my name. And I remember hugging the two models that said my name. And I was like, this is for so much more than just me. Because I remember feeling like I can represent all these girls that have messaged me and I've said they can't get out of bed and have cried their eyes to sleep. And like, this is for myself, for all the times that I've called my mom being like, I literally cannot do this anymore. For all the times that I've cried myself to sleep, like, when is my hair going to grow back? When is this going to end? And I just remember feeling so celebrated. And then the following day, I got to walk on the runway for Sports Illustrated Swim.
I ripped my wig off. So iconic. And because I remember when I saw the video, I was like, oh, she's walking. I was like, oh, but she had her wigs on. I was like, darn it. I was like, she's so beautiful when she takes it off. And then you got to the end and you ripped it off. And you did that with so much pizzazz. Like,
in that moment, I was like, it felt like a
the crowd went wild.
Yeah, it felt like a screw you moment to all of the people, the industry, the culture, the society that has made me feel like this is a bad thing. Like, that's how it felt, that I'm like, this is a time to celebrate. This is not, this shit happens, like I said, and I need to celebrate this. This is different, and I'm still beautiful who I am. This is my moment to celebrate, and I feel so grateful that it's conversations like this, moments like that, celebrating. It's not focusing on a flaw.
And thanks to people like you and so many other women who have like paved this path, I honestly think that nowadays we want authenticity. Yeah. I don't want to see someone walk the runway that makes me not want to eat dinner and hate myself. I want to see someone that walks the runway that inspires me.
Relatable.
Yeah, yes. Relatable, and inspires me to accept whatever it is that I'm dealing with.
I agree.
I'm really happy to see the tides turn. Like, same. When I see girls on Instagram who still post that same like coffee picture, I'm like, are you checking in the news?
Everyone sometimes clothes of each other. Like, I know. Everyone's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, that's not really, I'm like, that's not in anymore. And what's in is what should have been in for our whole lives.
That I know. And it's true. The more people love the truth and the more truthful and honest and down to earth people can be. And like social media, it's the platform now. Like Instagram is the platform that everybody can like goes to and can relate. And we all have it. Like we all can like relate to it in a sense. And the more people that have platforms, have these positions of power to show that there is no such thing as perfect. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as perfect. And stuff happens to people in their lives. And the more that people can speak up, I just feel like the happier and less hard on themselves people can be.
And don't you feel like the most loved, supported, and celebrated that you have ever felt in your life has been with alopecia?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's crazy to think that for a while, it's like you thought you could never receive that love and support if you weren't blonde Christy.
Right.
Pretty blonde Christy.
Mm-hmm.
And
now I just feel like my personality and my presence and and who I am and my confidence and strength come out so much more. People like, they see me for like, wow, you're actually a badass. Because it's not easy leaving your apartment without a wig on. People see that. Mm-hmm. Like, people see the strength in that. And that's why I want to encourage other people who have lost their hair to own it, because people admire the strength that that you have to cross that vulnerability and be open about
because
it.
Because being vulnerable and expressing our suffering, I think, is the only way we can connect as human beings, because everyone has suffered. And I can't connect with you when you tell me that you've accomplished ABC that I haven't accomplished.
Right.
But I can connect with you when you say, hey, I've cried myself to sleep because I don't like the way I look.
Right.
I'm like, girl, same.
Relatable, yeah.
And I'm so happy that you said when you got to SI, it felt like a family. Because one of the questions I prepared to ask you was, you felt very confident you did this video. When you got there, I was going to ask, you know, did you look around the room and see these girls who are stunning, who are Sports Illustrated models? And then did that maybe make you feel like not as confident?
Well, with Sports Illustrated, I feel like I follow the models and they all have a voice in what they can relate to. So no, I don't think I really, not like I feel when I go to dance calls out here in LA. Sometimes if it's an off day, I can go to a call without a wig And I'm just like, why is this happening to me? Like, it's a head whip, and it's, and I don't wear my wig, and I just see all these other beautiful girls that them everybody has their stuff, you know? But in from the naked eye, it feels like, why is this me? Like, I know myself as that. Why is this me? Mm-hmm. But it's sports illustrated.
You're saying you still have those days.
Yeah, 100%. 100% I still have those days. And but at Sports Illustrated, it felt more like differences celebrated, not like, I mean, yeah, everybody's from the eye looked beautiful, but everyone that I met and that I connected with in the top 17 all have something deeper and more.
I loved that about this year. I thought everyone was super unique, yeah, and different, and I was really
and owning what they are,
and once again, that's what's in, like, we see Victoria's Secret's not having their fashion show because no one wants to see that anymore. No. You know,
times are changing.
I don't want to see the same girl but looking a little bit different, right, over the cross of 30 girls walking down the runway.
Right. It's unrelatable. It's to the majority of people, you know. So yeah, I really do sometimes still have those days that, like,
how do you handle those days?
It depends, like. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to it. But some days I'm just like, I just want my hair back. I just want to. Like, when I wear my wig, I feel, most days, I feel really beautiful. Like, I feel pretty, you know? Like, when you feel good about yourself. Like,
it's like an accessory. It's like when you put on your makeup or your lipstick. Like, right, it is an added thing.
Exactly. And so when I don't wear my wig, sometimes I'm just like, I just want my hair. I just want my hair.
Even with like the amazing opportunities that you've gotten without the hair.
Yeah, I do, and I'm really, really, really grateful for like the leaps that I've taken that have happened in my life.
But you're still a human.
Exactly, I'm still human,
and you're still working through it every single day.
Right, and my roommate that I was talking about, she's my best friend, and she is also a dancer. And we're the same height, same like body structure. And that matters for dance, for opposites. And she has one look. She's a tall, beautiful brunette. One look. I could be a brunette, I could be a blonde, which I could be bald, which can be a good thing, but it's confusing to me. And I'm also confused, like, what's happening in my body that my hair is not growing back? I've changed my diet. I'm vegan and gluten free. And like, I'm aware of my stresses. Mm-hmm. And I mean, back in April, my hair was almost all the way back. It was like full. I just looked at the picture the other day. It was like almost all the way in. It was thick. It was brown because I used to color it blonde. And it was almost all the way in. And I remember I was like on a high. I'm like, I would post all my progress pictures. I'd be like preaching celery juice, vegan, like gluten free. My hair's growing back. My hair's growing back. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to beat this. Like, you know, social media. I'm so, so powerful. So feel so strongly about it. And then my hair started falling out. Out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, nothing changed.
And you probably feel so helpless. Like, there's nothing that you can do. Like, it's hard to be vegan. It's hard to work out. It's hard to do the things that are good for us. So when you're doing that and you're making those sacrifices and you're not seeing the result, it's like, I can imagine just like bursting into tears. Like, what can I do?
Yeah, I really cried, I think, for 12 days straight. Like, I was miserable. I remember I was teaching a class and like broke down out there outside to one of my clients, like, was calling my brother, my parents. Like, I was absolutely miserable to put this much effort and energy, like, and energy into healing myself. And I remember being at a bar job that I was working at and being like, I don't care about anything. I don't care about anything. All I care about is my hair growing back. And I would go to audition and be like, I don't care. I just want my hair to grow back. I just want my hair to grow back. I didn't care. Like, I just felt like everything was on pause because all I wanted was my hair to grow back. So after it was falling out all over my pillow, all over my, and this is like the third time this has happened.
That it's kind of grown back. You've got all your hopes up and then it fallen. All falls out again.
Yeah. So it was all over my sweatshirts, all over my pillows. And I was like, I have to shave it.
Do you feel like you have now learned and been better at not tying your emotions and self-worth to the hair because that has happened?
Well, it hasn't grown in and I'm grateful for that. Like, because I can't, I cannot deal with that right now. It's too heavy for me.
You're like, come or go, but pick one so I can start working on
exactly.
myself.
Exactly. Like, so I can like make moves and move on. Like, so I'm grateful that it's not growing in. I never thought I would say this, but it's just too up and down. The emotions are too high. Like, if my hair were to start growing in, like, I don't know what I would do because I want my hair to grow back. I eventually would love to have hair again. And like, I don't have eyebrows. That was probably the hardest. I used to have dark, like dark brown, thick eyebrows. Like
another thing that's like so beautiful. It's the Megan Fox, the Cara Delevingne. It's like these things that have been sold to us as a beautiful woman.
Yes, and it's on your face. There's no hiding. And my eyelashes are gone. And that also happens after it fell out again. It fell out everywhere. And it's just so confusing to me.
I'm happy you just brought that up because I think this idea of confusion is so relatable. You spend your whole life looking in the mirror every single day saying, this is me. So when you can put on a red wig, you can put on a brown wig, you can put on your lashes, you can take them off. It is an identity, you know, not a crisis, but it's just an identity halt.
Confusion.
You know, you're just like, wait, but we, as much as we want to care what's on the inside, we do see ourselves in pictures and we see ourselves in the mirror and we have an association of how we look in those moments.
Right.
So it's one thing for people to be like, you know, maybe gaining 15 pounds or losing 15 pounds, but another thing to say, my whole face is different than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And when you can't really have someone that gets it, no one really gets it. And then your friend gets it, but then hers grew back.
Hers back.
So it's like, okay.
Right. So I just feel like I'm just rolling with the punches, kind of. I'm just like going with it and trying to make the best out of it. That's what it's all about. Like when stuff happens to you, it's how you react and how you make the best of the situation you're given. So now I feel okay that it's not growing in and I'm at like a standstill with it. And I'm trying to rock this look for a while. But a part of me still really wants my hair back. But I don't want it to grow in and fall out again.
And you almost feel like, it's funny when I hear you say that, I almost feel, sometimes we're like, oh, I wish I didn't go through my depression or I wish I didn't have this problem.
Right.
Even though it has made us the strong women that we are.
Right.
Right? It's like you wish your hair would come back, but where would you be right now if you didn't experience that really hard suffering?
Right. And if it grew back and it was, I remember one time I was in the shower and my hair was growing in under my wig. And I was thinking like, I'm just going to share my story. Then my hair's going to grow in and this is going to be over with. But like, that's not the way that my life has gone. And that's not the way the universe or whatever wanted it to go. It pulled it from me again for these experiences to happen. So now that I'm a little bit more through it, I feel like it's happening for a reason because I get to share my message and speak on and like meet people like you and Sports Illustrated and these little girls and guys, boys that have reached out to me.
Yeah.
So it's happening for a reason, but you don't know the reason unless you can find the reason after.
And I love your honesty because, to be honest, I wasn't expecting you to say, I do wish my hair grew back. I'm expecting you to say, no hair, don't care. But I love the fact that you are being real about it. Because I think when people go through a big change in their lives, they think, like, I'm supposed to just be here now. But they're not. And I think that's the process.
So
and it's only been so recent in your life. Like, and so to anyone listening maybe who's, like, I hope you're inspired to see the opportunity and the acceptance and how you can grow and learn from something that you didn't expect to happen to you. But you also don't have to be perfect in accepting that thing.
That's a really good point because there's no right or wrong way to handle things. Like you're just for my own situation, I'm just kind of figuring it out. And me saying I don't ever want hair again is me kind of. It feels like I'm just.
It's too soon for you.
Yeah,
it's not how you
maybe
really
someday
really
right. And I hope maybe someday, but like I just feel like I'm giving in, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe I need to give in, but at this point in my life, I don't want to give in. I want to keep like
it's okay to fight.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Like I remember the other day when my window was down without my wig, I remember being like, I want to feel my hair blowing again. Like if my hair ever does grow back, it will be a whole nother like adventure being a girl with hair again. So it's just, I don't want to give up, but I am putting my focus elsewhere into accepting where I'm at the moment.
As we sort of wrap it up, what is the best advice that you have ever received in terms of what beautiful is and about your appearance and your confidence? What's the best advice you've received? And then I want to maybe hear about the best advice you can give.
The best advice I've received is, I would think, as a whole in general, from the different people that I've met through this experience, is being yourself. Like, I've always been myself, but the past like year I feel like I will even like will look at old pictures when my hair is growing in, and I said this to my roommate last night. We were watching something. I'm like, that's not even me anymore. Like this is who I am. And I'm just being more of myself. Like, I'm walking into a room and I'm not caring what people are thinking. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. That's how I feel now. And I didn't always feel that way. Like I said, in college, I felt like I had to live up to something. And then when my hair was growing in, I'm like, oh, now my hair's coming back. Like, now I need to identify with my hair coming back. I'm not going to give up. So my hair comes back and then it fell out again. And I'm like, I just need to be who I am and like bring Christy to the table without fail constantly.
And Christy's ever changing and ever growing. Right. So the yourself you might have been 5 years ago at Penn State isn't the yourself that you are now.
Right. And I need to stay true to that. Mm-hmm. I need to stay true to that and continue to spread what I believe and not care other people's opinions about it.
So for the girl that's listening who is looking in the mirror every day and pointing out this flaw that she has or this thing that's changing, what would you tell her?
I would tell her to hang in there because that has been me. I'm going to get upset, but that has been me so many times, like looking in the mirror and being like, how the hell is this what I look like? Mm-hmm. But I would tell her to just like hang on, keep on going, and to find something that you do love about yourself. Like, I personally love like how outgoing I am. And I feel like I've put more energy into that, and that is coming out and people notice that more. Mm-hmm. And so I would say find something that you do love, whether it's, if it's not about your appearance, it's your work ethic, or it's how down to earth you are, or a great friend that you are, or you love working out, or mm-hmm. you're determined. Like, I feel like my other traits have really been pushed forward because I'm putting energy on them.
And those are the things that we don't see when we look in the mirror, right?
Right.
So we often forget how important they are, how awesome we are in the things that no one can see,
right,
with the naked eye.
And but I do get it. Looking in the mirror and not liking what you see, if I'm having a bad day and don't like what I look like, I'm like, I'm just not today. I'm not going to point out all my flaws and look in the mirror.
I'm like, hey, it's another day. This is so normal. This happens to people all the time.
Right.
Whatever. Right. I get that with bloating. I'll wake up and my jeans will be tight, or I'll look at my stomach and I'm like, whatever. Today I'm going to bloat.
Right.
Not going to spend time there.
Yeah.
And, redirect. And,
right. Redirect or put on baggy pants. Like, if in that moment you need something to get you through the day, do something to be able to, or and try not to focus on it. Mm-hmm. And I would also say to the girl listening to never, ever, ever give up. Whatever it is that you want, like mm-hmm. whether it's your career, whether it's accepting yourself, whether it's public speaking, whatever it is, never give up on what you want. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how many no's you get, I've gotten a trillion, a billion no's, and I still get no's, and I'm still not even where I want to be. But I just believe, like, and even with my look and my hair loss and my self-love, just never, ever, ever give up. Really think about what you want, and just, you cannot give up on yourself. Because you have your own back. That's what I feel. I'm like, Chrissy, it's you and me, girl. You got your own back, you know?
I love it. No, I'm like literally so inspired. I'm like almost gonna cry too. You're so inspiring. Aww. I'm so grateful that I got to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for coming on #RealPod.
Thank you.
Are you guys hyped listening to it? Like, go do your thing, okay? You're beautiful and you can do it.
Aww,
it's
I
like
love
turning
it
into like a motivational ending.
I love it.
But thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure interviewing you.
Thank you, girl. And thanks for like pulling out all that you did for me. I really appreciate it.
Of
and
course.
I and always sending love to everyone and strength. So I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Real Pod with Victoria Garrick. I hope you loved Christy just as much as I did. She's incredible. Make sure you check her out and follow her on Instagram. Her username is Christy.Valdeseri. She's a dancer, a fitness instructor, and an advocate for alopecia. You can also check out her website, ChristyValdeseri.com. She is amazing, and I highly recommend that you keep up with what she's doing. Thank you for listening. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Leave a review, give it 5 stars. You can go to YouTube to watch the full episode of my sit down with Christy, as well as comment and subscribe there as well. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys next Tuesday right here on RealPod.